As we have sang these songs this morning, a lot of times we think about them as being Christian or Christmas songs.
But if you'll notice, the writers of these songs, a lot of these songs written in the 1800s, all of these songs have the theme of redemption and salvation. All of these writers understood that the moment of Christ's coming to this earth meant something more. It meant something eternal. It wasn't something momentary. It wasn't something that was just beautiful in the form of a child. It was something that would lead to man's salvation. And so the glorious themes of these songs talks to us, talks to our hearts, and talks to our minds and our souls about the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, I started this series of lessons here about 3 weeks ago. We're going to conclude it next week when we take a look at the wise men, the acceptance of the wise men, the rejection of Herod. We'll look at that next week. But this morning, we want to talk about the event. The event that is on the minds of so many this time of the year. You know, 3 weeks ago I talked about how it's nice to have a commonality with those around the world at this time. But I want you to understand that we do not have a commonality with the world. It's at this time and at this moment, this small window within this year, the world has a commonality with us. Because this story, although it is for all the world, it is for those who will accept Jesus Christ. You and I have done that within our lives. This is our story. We are brothers and sisters to the Lord Most High. God, through His love, gave us Jesus Christ. God, through His love, adopted us as children. So this is a family story that we're talking about. A story that has been shared for times and times and times, but this is not one that is shared with meaning amongst those who still live in sin. It has meaning with us because we are faithful. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about in this story today. I want us to start, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. And I actually, in the bulletin, I put us in verse 8, but I want us to go back up to verse 4. The reason why, you know, we're going to talk about the shepherds, we're going to talk about the angels, but the reason why that event happens is because of what happens in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Here was the time and the moment that would inspire the events that we're going to concentrate on this morning. Here was the event that we talked about 3 weeks ago, Christ coming to this world. The time was right. The time was upon Him. The time of His sacrifice was at hand. Verse 8 says that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Was it the same night that this happened? Was it the next night? A lot of folks believe that it was upon the same night. It probably wouldn't matter. I don't think Jesus moved a whole lot in the next 2 or 3 days. I don't think Joseph and Mary moved a whole lot. But this is very soon at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, when you think about this event happening at night, it could have happened today. Could have happened in the morning. Could have happened at mid-noon. But it happened at night. Jesus was born at night. And the event of the shepherds and the angels happened at night. Burton Kaufman probably expresses the moment the best, the significance of this happening and transpiring when it did. He said, appropriately, Jesus was born at night. For there was a darker night symbolized by the event. The scepter had nearly departed from Judah. The savage Herod was on the throne of David. Pagan darkness engulfed the world. And the Lord of the whole world was the first of the Caesars, Augustus, whose successors would drown the world in blood, allow the government to be degraded through debauchery, and usher in the age of darkness. Beyond the confines of the ancient empire, the long and shameful gloom had settled over all the world. All nations sat in darkness. And I would add to this, that along the horizon of darkness that was evident in the world at that time, there may have been an even darker shade of darkness off behind it. The sins of you and me. For it was during this time that Jesus came into the world. And what did He do? He came into the darkness to bring light, to illuminate us to the goodness of His nature. John chapter 1, verse 4 through 5 tells us this. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this brilliant moment in our history, Christ came to the world to shine brighter than any Christmas light that has ever been displayed. For His light brought hope for man's salvation. At a time and a people that had no hope, Christ came to this earth to bring hope to all mankind. Is it any wonder to us that it was at this moment the angels of heaven chose to appear before men on earth to praise the coming of the baby Jesus, the Emmanuel? Verse 9, Luke chapter 2. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Last Saturday evening, as we were hosting several great and wonderful Christian ladies at our home, as they were eating the appetizers, I kind of shared some trivia with them. I told them I wanted to see how smart they were. A pretty smart group. But one of the questions that I asked was, what is the ornament that is placed atop the Christmas tree? What is the most popular ornament? And there were several different responses. But the answer to that question was an angel. The ornament of an angel placed upon the top of the Christmas tree. And what's interesting about that is a lot of times these angels, as they are placed amongst the top of the Christmas tree, they have some light or illumination that you can plug into the rest of the tree to really spark the light of the tree. But I think that it's interesting that the popularity with angels, we could see it play out within this story as well. God did something special to them. God illuminated this angel. God made this angel and all the others to shine forth. He wanted the shepherds to see this angel. He wanted for the shepherds to hear what it was that they were about to speak to them. In verse 10 through verse 11, it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This was not a moment for fear. This was not a moment for judgment. This was not a moment for punishment. This was a moment for good news. The false pagan gods of Greek mythology that were so widely worshipped in this time falsely came to the earth and slayed monsters, strange creatures, and even men. They were tricksters and deceivers whose temperament constantly held their subjects in fear of a godly tantrum. That's the type of atmosphere that was prevalent during the times of Greek heritage and Greek culture. You know how different it was for the exaltation of this moment and the moments to come and everything that would proclaim Christ. Who was He? Was He some erratic God that would come to this earth and do atrocious things with human beings? Was He some God that would throw a tantrum before others and kill people with the forces of nature? No, this proclamation was good news. It was about a Savior. This was not the kind of God the angels were proclaiming. This was good news to bring great joy, for this was a Savior God, Christ the Lord. And as Gabriel had already exclaimed, He came to save His people from their sins. Now I know, deep in your heart, there's several things that transpire in this event that you would probably, like me, love to have been able to have been there and see. You know, these men, they're just common shepherds. You know, about the only thing that they would probably be used to hearing or seeing this time of the night is maybe a few jackals barking off in the distance. Maybe there are sheep as they still wander about or lay down within the pastures. Maybe they're sharing conversation and stories with each other, and then all of a sudden, here's this angel, illumined before them, bright light, proclaiming the good news. Sometimes makes you wonder what they thought in this moment, doesn't it? You think they were attentive to what He had to say? I think so. And you know what? I'm not illuminating before you, except for the lights reflecting off the top of my head, probably. But I've still got good news to proclaim. Do we still listen with the same attention? And I'm just going to pat you on the back. You listen great. You really do. Of all the congregations I've preached at, you're good listeners. You pay very close attention. But this is a message that should be just as important and just as well received to us today as it was in that time. We don't need angels illumined before us to understand the wonderfulness of this message. A Savior has come to the earth. A Savior has come before you. One who will save you from your sins. One in which He said the whole world needed. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Verse 12 through 14 says, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." I would have loved to have been there to hear that. You know, what's an angel sound like when they sing? You know what? I don't think that they sound any less beautiful than you and I do when they sing. Someday, we're probably going to get to hear what angels sound like when they sing. And what's so wonderful about that thinking is we're going to get to join in with that chorus as we all praise this Savior, Christ the Lord, for the rest of eternity. But at that one great moment, as the shepherds looked into the skies, they saw a host of angels. We don't know how much a host is. Some have made speculation. But you know what? I think whenever they looked up in the stars into the sky, the stars were covered. The angels of a large host, thousands upon thousands, singing the praises of Christ. And listen to what they're singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. You understand who they're talking about? Jesus Christ came for everyone. Jesus Christ came to give the entire world of men, for all generations, even the generations that will follow us, to give everyone an opportunity for salvation. But listen. Listen to who the peace is given to. The angels say, peace. Peace to him with whom he is pleased. Who? Who's the he? Jesus. God. Do you understand that who they're exalting is not only Christ, but they're singing about a blessing given to you and me? Don't we please God? I hope we do. We're trying, aren't we? We're trying to please God. If we please God, we are the ones who receive that peace. Jesus Christ came to give peace, not a peace that the world is looking for, not one who's going to end all the wars and all the arguments and all the bad things in life. It's a peace that is far more blessed than that. It's a peace that says within our hearts that no matter what happens to me in this life, no matter what people may do against me, no matter what trials and tribulations might come upon me, I have peace in Jesus Christ because, as we sing this song, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And because Jesus loves me, He has provided for me salvation. Because I have loved Him, I have obeyed the gospel. And because of that, I will have peace through the rest of eternity. Peace of knowing that I have a home prepared for me. Peace of knowing that as I walk through this life, I do not walk alone. You do not walk alone. For Jesus Christ holds our hand. And He saves us from our temptations. He saves us from our sins. And someday, He will take our soul. And He will take it to a place where He is. And we will live with Him for the rest of eternity. This is what Christ came to the world to bring. It started in the form of this baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He didn't come as a rich baby. He didn't come to a rich family. He wasn't even laid in a cradle. Wasn't laid in a bed, a baby bed. You know, how many of us have spent a lot of money on baby beds, you know? Beautiful baby beds. We want our little baby to just be the most comfortable baby that ever lived. We're willing to spend the money for that. His mom and dad didn't have that money. He's laid in a manger. Came of no pomp and circumstance. Humbly, lowly, to do His job. His job of love. In verses 15 through 20, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and probably giving Luke the testimony later on so that Luke could write the gospel that we're reading out of. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, there's something really interesting about this entire situation with the shepherds. The shepherds heard the good news proclaimed to them. They verified that the good news was true. They went and checked it out for themselves. They shared the good news with others. You know, they didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't just keep it amongst themselves. Whenever they saw Mary and Joseph and whoever else might have been there, they shared that news, the very thing that the angels had shared with them. And they went away rejoicing because of the good news. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Later on in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, we see an example of conversion that's similar to the same type of conversion. that you and I have been through. It says about Philip and the eunuch. Philip, of course, taught the eunuch about Jesus Christ. The eunuch was touched in his heart and he wanted to obey the gospel. They went down into the water. And as they came back up, in verse 39, it says, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch had heard the good news. He had within his hands documentation that Philip used from the book of Isaiah to teach him about that good news. So he had that verification. Later on, probably as he went back to his home country, don't you imagine he shared that good news? I think so. He obeyed the gospel and he went away rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, that story is still just as alive today as it was back then. And here it was, starting at the birth of Christ, and would continue to develop with details and furtherance until it reached its peak and impact whenever the kingdom that Christ came to establish would come into effect in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. As we think about this great and wonderful story, let us look upon the face of that babe, Jesus Christ, as he laid in the manger. As we have done so this morning. The face of innocence. Isn't that the way it is with all babies? When we look upon them, one of the things that we love about babies is their innocence. You know? They let us hold them, cuddle them. They don't say bad things back to us. Every now and then they might do some things that are kind of smelly or whatever, but, you know, they don't say any bad things back to you. They love you, you know. They have that goofy little smile that just brings a warmth to your body whenever they smile at you. They're beautiful. This was the baby, Jesus Christ, who not only showed innocence as a baby, but think about this, folks. His entire life was a life of innocence until he took upon himself our sins on that cross. Let us look upon that babe. Let us hear his teachings as he taught and gave to each and every one of us and gave to all of those who he would minister to while he was on the earth and continues to be proclaimed today, those words of life. Those words of comfort, those words of promise. Let us look upon them, let us hear them, let us live them in our lives. Let us look upon the miracles that showed and established he truly was, without a doubt, even though there are some today within our world who still do not believe that he is the Son of God. They proved he is the Son of God. Let us look upon his willingness to go to that cross for you and I. Let us look upon the torment that he suffered. Let us look upon that moment upon the cross when as the nails were nailed into his hands and his feet and the scars of the whippings and the fresh wounds and as he would lift himself up to get a breath upon the cross, the splinters in the beams would probably tear into his back. But it was in those moments. He didn't look upon them and he didn't look upon us and say, I can't believe I came to this earth to do this. He didn't have that attitude, did he? Out of love, what did he do? He looked upon us. He looked upon those who had placed him on that cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. The moment of love. And then 3 days later, after his death, his resurrection. And the angels were there again, weren't they? At his tomb. What were they doing? Proclaiming the good news. Because that's what angels do. They're messengers. And the angels of God have good news to proclaim. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has good news to proclaim. Are we listening to that good news? Are we living that good news? Are we sharing that good news with others? It's not ours to keep alone. It's ours to give to others so that others too can know the good news and know the riches of His blessings that He has showered upon us all. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you've heard the message of the good news. Jesus came to this earth. He died for us so that we may receive salvation from our sins. Full forgiveness. Everything that you've ever done within your life that was a sin can be completely forgiven and forgotten by our God. We can't do that. I don't have the power to forgive you completely of your sins. I don't even have the power to forget all the sins that I've committed and that you've committed. But God does. And Jesus Christ does. And they're willing to do that. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, the plan of salvation is so simple. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to believe that He came to the earth as a child, as a baby. You need to believe all the teachings that He did, all the miracles, and that He went to that cross, and that He died, and that He was resurrected on the third day. You need to be willing to confess that before others. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the good news of the gospel. And you have the opportunity this morning to obey that gospel. You have that opportunity this morning to bring that good news into your heart and to wash your soul clean. Will you do it? Will you consider it this morning? If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. All you have to do is take that first step and come and obey the good news this morning. If you're willing to do that, please come while together we stand and sing.